There's a wind and it blows and it thunders, and the rains come and go on the plains. Once I saw you there standing before me, and now I am here all alone. And I know deep within me you live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. You live on and on, but I don't get when the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. When I die while you're alive, where am I? When I die
what is this life? You're full of cares. You have no time to stand and stare. No time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep or cows. No time to see when woods we pass, where squirrels hide their nuts in grass. No time to see in broad daylight streams full of stars like skies at night. No time to turn beauty's glance and watch her feet how they can dance. Enrich that smile her eyes began. A poor life this is, full of care. We have no time to stand and stare. The poet is describing a life which is addicted to noise, which wants external input all the time. A poor life is full of care. I have no time to stand and stare. There is no time to stand. There is no time to pause. There is no time to stop. man is suffering from a collective madness, where a perpetual stimulation is needed to keep him going, and he needs that stimulation from outside. If that is not given, the man feels empty, absolutely blank. The reason is multifarious. The modern life, the modern world, is driven by some unusual madness, where everything is moving at a fast pace. Today we will see something about beyond stimulation as we enter into day 17 of this retreat on the pure mind. The global asylum of the addict. The whole world, if you look, is running out of. Very, very fast. If you ask some physics team, they find it very difficult. The constant stimulation, an external stimulation, some pleasure, some entertainment, some screen, some scrolling, using random apps, some cheap entertainment, some jokes. The stimulation should come from outside. It is a cheap dopamine, which is what everyone wants. A sudden stimulus. A sudden happiness, a pleasure, a sensation, a stimulation is the mental hospital, as if where there is utter hollowness within, and we try to fill that hollowness by external stimuli. Before we think of meditation, we need to come to some conclusion. Why people say, I can't meditate, I can't sleep, I can't focus, I can't concentrate? Because mind is addicted to this cheap dopamine. Every moment, something or other is needed. Even for 2 minutes, person can't sit still. The moment anyone tries to sit still, the inner hollowness comes outside. And they feel restless. Extreme restlessness grips the mind. The most important thing is to understand what's happening. It is something like a person is eating junk food every day, and suddenly he is offered a plate of fruits. He finds it absolutely tasteless, insipid, boring, and it does not satisfy his appetite. Because the tongue is addicted to all those hot, spicy, salty, chili things. That itself shows how deeper is the addiction. So also, the digital stimuli . The digital distractions have stolen man's attention. We feel bored. Boredom is nothing but the withdrawal symptom of the sick nervous system. The mind is addicted. The mind, the nervous system is stimulated all the time with shorts and reels. With jokes, with entertainments. It finds itself extremely uncomfortable when all these things are not offered. That's why the resultant boredom grabs the human mind. Why we feel bored? Why we feel so restless and so anxious all the time? Even whilst living a spiritual life with all the spiritual activities, the inner tranquil, the inner peace is missing. And everything appears as if again going against the grains. The real spiritual life is a calm life, is a silent journey, and if obstacles come, you don't see them as enemies. You see everything helping you in your spiritual journeys. Your friends do not help you as much as your enemies help you. They make you go within yourself and point out a missing link. There was a person who meditated in the Himalayas for 30 years, a sage, a sadhu. He kept meditating for 30 years and ultimately he came to the conclusion that I have fully conquered anger and my mind has become calm like a lake. He had some disciples and the disciples requested him to go down. There are villages, help the worldly people, attain spiritual enlightenment. He came down and there was a fair. There was crowd, and in that crowd, somebody kept his leg or his feet. And suddenly there was a wave of anger. What 30 years of meditation in the Himalayas did not teach him was taught by one moment of that accidental event. So rather than thinking of situations and circumstances as enemy, whatever that is happening right now, milk the situation. Exploit the situation to your own advantage. Everything that is happening is the part of spiritual life. New places, new situations, new persons, new obstacles. Everything. Stay where you are. No need to change place, no need to change clothings. It is change of the mindset. I see everything helping me to move forward. Every obstacle, every criticism, every opposition, every insult. Is showing some unlit corner of my heart. So boredom is nothing but a withdrawal symptom of a stimulated mind. But yes, if you don't feed it with junk food and keep feeding it with the radiant and healthy food, gradually mind will calm down. A time will come when you will not like all that. The mind will become absolutely peaceful and happy and satisfied with simplicity. And that's a sign of royalty. A beggar is always wanting something. A beggar is begging for something. An emperor walks alone. He doesn't need anything. All those superficial praises and applause is sick of. Public admiration, because he knows that is all hollow, coming from hollow people. The craving is gone. It is said that Mahavira stayed without food for months together. How is it possible? It is possible only in one case, if there is no hunger. Otherwise, one can stay without food for a few days. But the hunger will come up again and again and disturb the mind. It is possible only in the stage of bodilessness. And that's what the word upavas means. It is not starvation. It is not dehydration. There is a huge difference in these two words, upavas and nirahar. Nirahar is something that makes you sick. You force non-eating upon yourself. You might end up in dehydration. But upavas is something else. It means to stay close. When you stay close to the soul, very much near to the soul, there is no consciousness of the body. So probably Mahavira stayed very close to the soul. And there was a perpetual bodilessness. In that stage alone, it is possible to go without food and water, and yet to remain healthy and radiant. Otherwise, whatever the worldly people do, that is not upavas at all. That is a show off, an exhibition to garner attention. Because it is not taking you close to the soul. It is not upavas. It is something else. It is starvation. It might be a fasting. That cannot go on for a long time. It will have deleterious effects on the body. It is extremely perilous. So it is the hallucination of the boredom, because the mind is addicted to something that stimulates. The entire spirituality is the process of de-addiction. You feel this is very happy, this makes me happy. But you come to a state where you understand this happiness was fake. How can other human being make me happy? How can somebody comes and shows me the path to enlightenment? It is my personal journey. It's my solo journey. I have to find out ways and means and methods to achieve the goal. The third is trust, the taste of royalty. A royal soul is not a beggar. A beggar wants somebody else. There's some stimulation from outside. A royal soul is independent. He doesn't beg. He finds pleasure in simple things of life. You watch a tree and there is so much pleasure. You hear the chirpings of the bird and there is so much pleasure. You walk alone, there is so much pleasure. You spend time in nature, there is so much pleasure. And that is the real pleasure. Pleasure independent of plastic screens. And you feel the touch of your own soul. Which is so exquisite. So wondrous. So magnificent. This is the entire game of stimulation. And getting rid of that stimulation. The work has to be done at different levels. We are addicted to sleep. To taste. To the sexual hallucinations. The 3 S. Swad. Sleep. And the sensuality. The entire task is to break this chain, to reach an enlightened stage where nothing attracts you, where nothing pulls you. And you understand how the mind was addicted to all that was that which was unclean. It's only and only when you move towards higher test, you realize that was not sweet at all. What I was calling nectar was in fact poison. just as a person who is addicted to eating all the junk food, when offered a healthy plate of fruit, finds it absolutely tasteless and boring. But yes, if you persist, gradually all the artificial taste will go away. You will realize what we are for. All those addiction to salt, all the addiction to spices, all the addiction to cereals, all the addiction to oil, all those herbs, all the addiction to teas and coffees, milks and all the milk products. When you come to a conclusion that these things have given me nothing but heaviness, and a heavy mind cannot think clearly. It is not just for the health reasons, but the mental clarity is lost once you put heaviness in your system. The whole of the human body is busy in digesting everything that you are putting inside it. So when the energy is diverted to lower chakras, how the energy will flow up? The churning power, the power of the focus, the clarity in thinking will come when all these things are gradually. We are not forcing ourselves, but mind doesn't want anything of these anymore. Heat is the enemy of nutrition. We are addicted to fire. Unless and until we enter into a fireless kitchen, we are addicted to fire, refrigerator and geyser. These are the three addictions. Cylinders and geysers and refrigerators. Eat at a room temperature. It doesn't need refrigeration, it doesn't need heating. Heating is also, refrigeration is also an enemy of nutrition. In your refrigerator, there are different chemical gases which are released. What are those gases? Which gas is that? Don't think that the things which you are putting into the refrigerator, and once you pull it out, bring it out, it is the same. The chemical compositions have changed. What food is before heating? The moment heating is a destructive process. It kills the chemicals, it kills the sattva and tattva of that food. It does no more remain the same. What remains is the taste. That's it. And the heaviness and the diseases. Human body has been designed only and only for fruits. If you put anything other than that into this system, you are bound to suffer. So the greatest addiction is this: swad, sex and sleep. Amritvela is the antidote for this sleep. Amrit Brahmacharya for this sensuality and diet change to get rid of this artificial. So begin the journey slowly. Unless and until this cooked is gone, the mind cannot become clear. You are always in the trap. You cannot see through and through. So it's a gradual process. From last 2500 years, we are living like a slave in the prison of these 3S. The moment you break this prison, the mind revolts. There are detox symptoms. Everything appears boredom. Everything appears dry. But if you persist, gradually the reward will come to you. The body weight will stabilize. The sleep will stabilize. The mind will become clear. Brahmacharya will come to you as a gift. Purity descends on you without your calling it. And you remain in a perpetual stage and intoxication of God's love. So that is all about going beyond stimulation. All the stimulations. Om Shanti.
As a human, I live in a body made of flesh, bones, and blood of the earth. There's a fire and water within me, and the air that I breathe of the world. And I know deep within me, I live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. I live on and on. But I don't yet know where the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. There's a wind and it blows and it thunders, and the rains come and go on the plains. Once I saw you there standing before me, and now I am here all alone. And I know deep within me, you live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. You live on and on, but I don't yet know where, when the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. When I die while you're